All right, let's reflect on the judgment that came out of the High Court in Johannesburg yesterday that set aside parts of the mining charter. The ruling also ruled that the charter provides policy guiding principles and isn't subordinate legislation. The judgment also means that when mining companies must renew their mining rights with government in the future, they won't have to top up their existing black ownership to the higher levels required by the charter since 2018. Jonathan Veeren is a partner at Weber Wenzel. Jonathan, thank you so much for making time. What does this judgment boil down to, especially on that contentious principle of once empowered, always empowered?
Good morning, Clement, and good morning to your listeners. I think the judgment confirms the view that once the principle, once empowered, always empowered, which was a judgment that was previously opined on. And it simply says that once you've met your 26% BEE target, there's no need to continually re-empower yourself. As you mentioned in your introduction, the 2018 mining charter said that you would need to go up to 30% BEE shareholding when you renew a right, and that's been done away with. And so as the requirement to comply with a structure which requires that employees, communities, and BEE entrepreneurs be included in the BEE consortium.
Yeah, but doesn't that take the industry back in terms of transformation? What happens when empowerment holders sell their stakes and companies fall below the 26% threshold?
Clement, I think that the judgment is positive. I think what the government was previously fixated on was to have equity participation for BEE shareholders. And in a sense, that held BEE shareholders back. They weren't allowed to sell their shares. They were locked in for a number of years, and they couldn't take advantage of market conditions, which would have given them a larger yield when share prices were high. And I think this releases BEE shareholders to invest in other mining assets, alternatively invest in other industries, so it creates more entrepreneurial spirit in the South African economy.
What does this judgment then mean for the mining communities? Because they sought additional relief from the court on the basis that there was inadequate consultation with them prior to the publication of the charter, that the charter also fails to substantially address the environmental degradation and gender-based injustice caused by mining, as well as the poverty and inequality of mining-affected communities?
I think mining communities are by far the most affected by mining operations. And I think one needs to take a step back. The charter simply provided that mining communities must be given a 5% shareholding with the mine. And if you go to banks and if you go to the financial institutions, they would tell you that shareholders, being a shareholder on the mine, is actually probably the position you don't want to be in because they stand last in the queue of benefit. I think mining communities, we need to take a holistic view of benefit that accrue to mining in mining communities because there's issues like economic, social and governance or ESG developments where mining communities can be better taken care of. I think what we need to recognize is that mining is a long-term game, but also at some stage a resource is depleted and then the mining community simply becomes a ghost town. And we need to be more circumspect in how we arrange that by creating subsidiary industries which will enable these communities to thrive. And I think that's a separate initiative from simply giving them an equity stake in a mine.
What about the aspect of that judgment that found that the mining charter to be policy guideline and not subordinate legislation, meaning non-compliance with the charter cannot be used to revoke a mining right? I'm just thinking here, doesn't this give mining companies the license to do as they please and not comply with empowerment and community development requirements?
Firstly, Clement, I don't think all of the provisions dealing, all of the compliance requirements of the 2018 mining charter were done away with. The court was quite specific in its order as to which elements are no longer valid. But the fact that it's policy means that it's a guideline. The MPRDA, or the Mineral and Petroleum Resources Development Act, is still the primary piece of legislation. It has transformation objectives, very laudable ones, and mining companies are still obliged to comply with those requirements. In addition to that, the term of a mining rights requires you to comply with certain empowerment and transformation objectives, and that has not been done away with. Once it's hard-coded into the text of the mining right itself, that is your compliance obligation, and that's something that the Department of Mineral Resources will hold mining companies to.
All right. Jonathan Veeren, thank you for helping us understand that judgment and how it's also going to affect mining communities. Jonathan is a partner at Weber Wentzel. And of course, what I was asking there was around the removal from the charter of the provisions in the 2018 charter related to mining companies not complying with ownership and mine community development requirements, and thus being in breach of that MPRDA. And I'd like to get your thoughts. Maybe you are in the mining industry. Maybe you live in a mining community or you've represented mining communities. How does this judgment affect you directly? How are you feeling about it?